Time for a Sheridan County Fair hourly update presented in part by Truebill Builders, Blacktooth Large Animal, Harlan Kubota, and McDonald's. It's Monday, and the dog show will take place in the exhibit hall and lawn at 9 o'clock, with more horse speed events starting at 4 p.m. later today. SheridanMedia.com will be live streaming on our website, SheridanMedia.com. Go to that Everything Fair page. All events are subject to change at a moment's notice. This Sheridan County Fair update presented in part by Harlan Kubota, Truebill Builders, McDonald's, and Blacktooth Large Animal. Keep listening for daily updates every day during the fair, and make sure to go to our website again, SheridanMedia.com. Check out the Everything Fair page. More updates coming up right here on this Sheridan Media radio station and online as we live stream from the Sheridan County Fair at SheridanMedia.com.
At Hando Service Center, we believe hard work, dedication, and heart deserve to be celebrated. That's why we're sending a big congratulations to all the 4-H and FFA members at this year's Sheridan County Fair. Way to go, kids! Your commitment to agriculture, animals, and community makes Sheridan proud. You've earned a big applause, or a moo, or a whinny, or an oink. So, from everyone at Hando Service Center, thank you for keeping Sheridan's future strong.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Monday, July 28th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Chip King, Operations Director at the Museum at the Bighorns. Good morning and welcome back, Chip.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's always good to see you, my friend.
I know, right?
It's like catching up with someone, like an old buddy.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. Thank you.
Yeah. I really enjoy it. Now, one big thing I haven't gotten to say to you yet, and that is congratulations on phase one.
Thank you.
We are through it, right?
Oh, yes. Yes. We... the last of the glass that we were waiting for the walls around the staircase arrived 2 weeks ago now and got installed. And yeah, it actually looks, there's not temporary wood walls or anything like that in the middle of a glass wall. So yeah, we actually look finished. So yeah, it's really great.
After all the work that you put into this, it's got to feel good.
It does.
I mean, to sit there and really look at it. Okay, so the public response, because you guys, when was it that you did open?
We did a real soft open. It was June 12th. We did the sneak peek for some donors and contributors on June 10th and stayed closed the 11th so we could clean up. And just kind of did a soft open on the 12th, and we've been going since.
Now, when it comes to where people can go as of right now, mm-hmm. there are limitations.
Yeah. The phase one is just the lobby area and the gift store. We do have, there is an exhibit, there's a small exhibit up there, really talking more about the location that we're at, mm-hmm. the building that we're in. So
lots of history.
Oh my gosh. Holy cow. Yeah.
And so how has being right there on Main Street kind of changed the way that the museum connects with the public? Because beforehand you were up here.
Yeah.
Right off the freeway, which a lot of people thought, hey, that's a good location.
Yeah.
Visitors can pull right off and go right to the museum. And that's true to an extent.
Right.
But tell me how it's changed.
It is, I'm not going to say it's night and day, but I will certainly call it dusk and dawn.
There you go. The same but different.
Yeah, the same but different. Foot traffic has been really good, has been really consistent. I don't off the top of my head know the exact numbers, but, really in the first, at the end of June, we had 300 plus people come through the museum in the 15 days we were open. And that is more than what we would have had up there on Fifth Street.
Yeah.
It really was in my, you know, couple of years at the museum and being able to look at those numbers. I mean, 15 days like that in June, you know, a huge difference. It really, truly is.
And I mean, as things kind of progress along, and I'm sure you've stood there and visualized the way it's all going to look once everything comes out. And I just, you know, I really have hopes for folks just kind of being crowded in there for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's, it'll be a great problem to have if we have people backed up.
Yeah.
You know, it really will. But right now, I mean, you know, people walking in off the street, we're still, you know, we're still trying to get everyone used to the fact that we're on Main Street. You don't have to drive up the hill or anything like that. You got your family in town, you've taken them, you know, to King's, or you've taken them to the Mint, or whatever the case may be. And, you know, we're in that triangle right there, you know, between the two of them, and right there on Grinnell. So, you know, it's a great, great location, and, you know, only good things are going to come out of it.
How's the interaction been with the public so far? Do you stand there answering a lot of questions?
You know, we do. There's still a lot of, they walk in, and though we've got vinyls on the doors that, you know, say Museum at the Bighorns, they're still, you know, they kind of stand there, they look around, they don't know if they're in the right spot or not for sure. And, but once they come in, yeah, I mean, they're asking, you know, asking a lot of questions. Some, of course, are disappointed that, you know, it's not, you know, fully blown open, you know, kind of thing. But, you know, we're building out in these two phases. And so it is going to take, you know, take a little extra time, but, so worth the time.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So well worth the wait.
Now, when it comes to operation hours, folks, maybe they haven't been down there yet. They're like, you know, I'd like to go down there and poke my head in the door. When can they do that?
You know, the only day that that they can't stop in is Mondays. We're closed on Mondays. Tuesday and Wednesday, it is 10 to 5. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's 10 to 7. And on Sunday, it's noon to 4.
So a lot of opportunity to go down there,
yes,
kind of poke their head in. What does, and when it comes to the actual exhibit that is up and going right now, I think we'll talk about that a little bit more in the second part, but how big is it, would you say?
You know, it's the back half of the lobby area back there. So we've got that Sheridan diorama, that 1888 diorama of Main Street. You know, and a little history on 171 North Main, a little history of the Woolworth. And then the big thing, the interactive part, is we want people to share their memories of Woolworth. We've got memory cards, hanging up there that, you know, oh, I worked there. My grandfather worked there. My, you know, mom worked there. I remember going there and buying, you know, school clothes. I remember shoplifting, you know. So, yeah, it's really cool to see. And maybe people don't want to write something out themselves right there. Come in, pick up a card and take it home.
Yeah.
And bring it back. More than once, I've come in to open up the museum and there's a card hanging on the door, you know. So, yeah. If you don't have the time to stand there and fill it out, take one with you, please. I mean, the more of those memories that we can share, then when we take this down, we're scanning all of those cards in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they'll be archived. This isn't a one and done. They'll be archived. If for whatever reason someone wanted to, you know, oh, my grandmother worked there and I was told that, you know, she wrote out a memory. You know, and yeah, let's take a look. Let's see if we can, you know, let's dig in and find it.
Now, for those who may not know, and I know there's probably a lot more out there than I initially guessed. Woolworth's was a mercantile type store, right?
It was the one on Main Street was called a department store. and it was because it had two floors. But it was the precursor. It was a small version of Walmart.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Sporting goods, health and beauty, pet department, you know, men and women's clothing. There was a fabric department. And of course, you know, the diner, you know, the cafe where now Bison Union now sits. You know, it was a full blown, you know, we've got stories of high school kids coming down, whipping down the hill and grabbing a burger at lunch or ice cream after work or after school, you know? So yeah, it was in there.
The ancestor to the big box store.
Exactly.
Is yeah. really what it was.
Yeah.
And I mean, those things were all over the place.
Oh, they were. Yeah.
They've even been addressed in modern media.
Yeah.
Certain movies talk about the Woolworths and
yeah.
feature because it was very popular.
Well, you know, I mean, downtown Sheridan, there was, holy cow, Woolworth, JCPenney, Montgomery Ward, Sears for a little bit there, Coast to Coast. And then, of course, as you move out Coffeen Avenue, I mean, you know, there was Yellow Front. I think that was a more regional one. But, you know, there was a Pomida, Ben Franklin. Yeah, I mean, you know, just tons of them. You know, tons of them.
I think your generation and our generation was around when we were little kids, just on the cliff edge
yeah.
of a lot of those big names
yeah.
that just aren't around anymore.
Right, right.
But we can look back and we can see what those became.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, right? You know, if without those, our world wouldn't exist
no,
as we know
exactly.
it. So these are kind of the precursors to all this, the Ben Franklins, gosh, even like old Radio Shacks.
Oh, can. Yeah, right? Yeah, there you go.
That was the only place you could get electronics back in the day. An open floor plan has actually been mentioned. Carrie and I were talking about this. You guys are thinking that maybe you can hold programs.
Yes.
Kind of like your beer and history program.
Right.
That it was pretty popular.
It was. And we are very intentional about leaving a center space for programs, be it a history talk, be it a history happy hour, be it, a social gathering, or maybe, you know, bringing in a kids camp. I mean, Carrie's been working with the YMCA and Sheridan Rec District with their kids camps, and they're doing, you know, the history walks, the main street walks, looking at architecture, looking at, you know, the first three streets of, you know, Sheridan. And so having something that we could do something in-house, you know, is just an addition to what we can do.
Yeah. And what a great setting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, your mind is already ready to go
yeah.
by the time you walk in that door.
Exactly.
You're set. There's a neat local history exhibit titled Building Itself. Or tied to the building itself, excuse me. Now, the 1966 Woolworth photo.
Oh.
What is this?
It is opening day with the entire store staff.
How many? Is there quite a few people?
Yeah. Carrie went through and we want to try to start identifying them. And so Carrie went through and numbered all the individuals. Now, we're talking... You know, it's a 8x10 black and white, and some of the edges are a little dark, and you can tell that there's people there, but you really can't see them.
Yeah.
But there are 50 some people numbered in that picture.
Wow.
And as of yesterday, I bet 20 maybe have been identified. And, you know, we're just going off of, you know, a Facebook post that we made. But Linda Grosso, who donated that photo, has shared with us a number of names as well. And she's in the photo. And the president and CEO of Woolworth Incorporated is in that photo. The store manager at the time is in that photo. It is It's phenomenal. And it's taken in that staircase with the hand railing that is still in place.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it's really cool.
I mean, that really ties it all together. I mean, I love how you guys wanted to retain a little bit of that.
Yes. Yeah. You know, the building owners, they wanted to keep that staircase as intact as possible. And so at some point in years past, part of that railing has been cut away, and you know, I'm sure it's, you know, been dismantled and at this point, you know, recycled somewhere. But the parts that we do still have, I mean, it's, you know, it's just that silver aluminum color, chrome, whatever it is, and it really contrasts to the black that the museum has put up. But it's great to see. Oh my gosh, these people are standing on the staircase. Here's this handrail that they use to go up and down those stairs. And that handrail is still there that people still use to go up and down.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Now, if folks out there may think, you know, hey, grandma worked up there, maybe I could contribute to that. So just jump on the Museum at the Bighorn's Facebook.
Yep. Yeah, hop on the Facebook page, or of course, if you live in town, please stop by. Let's have a talk about, you know, grandma or grandpa or you know, whatever family member it was that worked there. And great conversations have been taking place. I will spend a big chunk of my day just talking to people about it.
Yeah, learning new stories about an old building.
Exactly.
That's fantastic. All right, I got to take a quick commercial break. More with the Museum of the Bighorns right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
Hold on to your hats. Mutton Bustin' is back at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds Saturday, August 2nd at 5 p.m. Exclusively brought to you by the Ice House Eatery. Watch the toughest little cowboys and cowgirls ride for glory. Then stick around for the thrills of steer riding right after. Sheridan Media will be live streaming all the action, but nothing beats seeing it in person. Sign-ups are still open at the Ice House Eatery until August 1st. Mutton Bustin', August 2nd at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds. It's boots, dust, and big fun. Don't miss it.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop-O-Miniums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, these Shop-O-Miniums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shop-O-Miniums and invest smart.
I'm Dr. Daniel Peterson, a fellowship-trained, board-certified foot and ankle surgeon at Sheridan Orthopedics. Our expert team offers advanced, compassionate care to keep you moving through both surgical and non-surgical treatment plans. Whether you are struggling with arthritis, muscle strains, tears, or other issues causing pain or discomfort, the team at Sheridan Orthopedics is here to get you back on your feet so you can get back to doing what you love. See SheridanOrtho.com today to learn more about our team. Sheridan Orthopedics, your next step starts with us.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with the operations manager for the Museum at the Bighorns, Chip King. Now, we're talking, we've talked about phase one and where we're at with the old Warworth building, turning that into the new Museum at the Bighorns right there on Main Street. They're open, except on Mondays. You could pop in, join the conversation. If you've got family that used to work at Woolworths, or maybe you can even help to identify some individuals, in an old photograph of all those great employees, jump on the Museum at the Bighorn's Facebook page and help them out. Now, Chip, what will the new exhibit and collection space allow the museum to do that you couldn't do up here on the freeway?
You know, the space itself is roughly the same size. It's just we're not a long rectangular building. It is a great big open square in the back there. And it's deceptive. People walk in and you don't see how big it is, but it opens up behind all of our building neighbors. And Yeah, it is a huge space back there. All told, it's, you know, I think we're sitting in about 5,000 square feet, including the lobby. And that's kind of what we had up there, in the log building. And, a much larger, open, easier flowing, space. And Carrie and I have spent, I don't know how many hours, days, thinking about, okay, what do we need here? What do we need there? How does this tie in? How do we, keep flowing that around? Something that ties into one side of the building ties into the other side of the building. How do you connect those two? A big open floor plan and intentionally open floor plan. Trying not to put any walls up. If we do, it's going to be for a temporary, a photo show or something like that. But really, the only walls that that we're planning to have up are the four outside walls.
Yeah, yeah. Other than that, you want it to be open,
exactly,
and kind of have an airy feel to it.
Yeah,
you guys have got over 30,000 items in your collection,
right?
You've been cataloging,
yep,
archiving,
yep,
listing.
Oh yeah.
Probably spreadsheeting.
Yes, more than one.
I'll imagine that's just, I mean, there's tedium behind all of
there that. There is.
But at the same time, and I've talked with Carrie about this, and I think touched on it with you, getting sidetracked, like a little kid cleaning up their bedroom and finding that one toy that they haven't seen in 6 months.
Right.
And all of a sudden you've spent 2 hours with this thing.
Yeah.
You've done that.
Oh, yeah.
What's your favorite? That you've kind of come across?
I'll go back to it. It's one I found when I was boxing up things on Fifth Street. And it was a box, nondescript, just a box. And in it was a ship's flag, a U.S. flag, a letter from the War Department, a Purple Heart, and some baby photos. And the letter from the War Department was thanking the family for the service of their son. And he, it was his belongings after losing his life on a ship in the Pacific.
Oh, wow.
And wow. So, yeah, just to find something like that is... like I said, it was just a nondescript box. And I think it was inside another box. And, if you had just picked up that, the big banker box and moved it, you'd have never seen it. But trying to go through all of those things and you take the lid off, here's another box, and you open it up. And at first it doesn't strike you. You see a folded up, American flag, and you're like, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden you see, the personal, paraphernalia, the personal photos, the story, the letter. And then you're like, oh, snap.
Yeah.
It's a heavy thing, it just kind of weighs on you that, this is, really, truly a person's story.
Yeah.
A Sheridan resident's story. So
who understood sacrifice?
Yep, exactly.
In the most sacred way.
Yes.
That is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
What a great find.
Oh, little bit of chills right now. You know? But yeah. And, you know, I mean, there was a box of, I can't remember now, 30 something weasel tails. Well, you know.
I mean, 30 weasel tails.
Yeah, just 30 weasel tails. Yeah. In the bottom of the box.
Because 15 wouldn't be enough.
Right. Yeah. 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 So, you know, let's gather up even more. I don't know.
It had to have been part of a display at some time, maybe dealing with trappers.
It had to have been something. Exactly.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. A little scrap of fabric with a inside a, you know, sandwich bag and, you know, may have belonged to, you know, so-and-so's grandma or something like that. And I mean, the palm of your hand is larger than that scrap of fabric was.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, the.
But a whole life is attached to that.
Yeah. You know, I mean, unfortunately, there was zero story attached to it. So, you know, I mean, we don't know who or what or, you know, where it came from, you know, what dress was it, you know.
Wow.
But, you know, so things as you know, weighty and meaningful as, you know, a box of a hero's, you know, belongings to, you know, 30 weasel tails.
Yeah.
You know.
And yeah. Everything in between.
And everything in between. Yes.
Chip, you guys are having a fundraiser right now. You're trying to raise $2 million to working towards a match from the Roberts Family Foundation. How can folks help out with this?
You know, that generous match, it's a $50,000 match with any personal donation, any amount, be it online, through the museum's website, coming in and making that donation, any dollar amount is appreciated and, you know, can be used, you know. Not everyone, you know, right now in this day and age has, you know, tons of cash on hand. And we understand and appreciate that fact. Not everyone can make, you know, $100, $200, $1,000 donation, you know, but $5 becomes $10. $10 becomes $20, yeah. You know. And so we are, I know we've passed the halfway mark. I want to say we're 26 or 27,000. So we just crossed over that threshold. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, keep those donations coming in and, you know, everything that comes in is really, truly just greatly appreciated.
Absolutely. And you know, a lot of times I don't think people realize it's, in many situations, I'm not going to say every, but in many situations, those little amounts that we all give,
oh yeah,
that really make the difference.
Yeah.
Chip, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning and speaking with me, my friend.
Hey, thanks for having me, Floyd.
If folks want to give money, they just pop in or can they send it?
Send it, drop it in the mail, 171 North Main Street, Suite 107. And yeah, bring it in and... credit cards online. I mean, any way that you want to make that donation, I mean, we can make it happen.
You can help out the museum at the Bighorns. This is your museum, folks. No amount is too small. All right. When we return, we're going to speak with Sheridan Arts Council and concert pianist Tanner Jordan. You're listening to Public Pulse, Sun 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who work so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
Mark your calendars, Sheridan. Something lucky is landing soon. Lucky Sevens Gaming Parlor, the first one in the state, on Coffeen Avenue. We're bringing you the latest gaming experience. From high-stakes games to nail-biting horse racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky Sevens. Check us out at LuckySevensWY.com. Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
Hi, this is Becton Sillers with the Lucky 7 4-H Club. The Sheridan County 4-H and FFA youth have worked hard throughout the year on our projects. We invite you to come to the fair and the livestock sale on August 4th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds at 5 p.m. Can't make it to the fair or sale? You can still stream them live on SheridanMedia.com. Processing dates are already reserved, so get your locally sourced meat at the Sheridan County Fair Livestock Sale.
Get ready, Sheridan. Brazy Days Silly Socks is coming July 31st through August 2nd.
Downtown businesses are rolling out their best deals of the summer with indoor and outdoor sales you won't want to miss.
It's 3 days of unbeatable bargains, sidewalk specials, and big savings from your favorite local shops.
This year's theme, Silly Socks. Wear your freshest pair and join the fun while you shop.
Brazy Days, July 31st through August 2nd in downtown Sheridan.
Shop local, save big, throw some socks on. See you downtown.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Jenkins. I've got a hair appointment at 10, lunch with the girls at noon, and my grandson's soccer game at 3. Can your drivers keep up with me?
Mrs. Jenkins, I've got you covered. We'll have you there with time to spare, maybe even early enough to sneak in a coffee.
Oh, you're good. Do you do birthday parties, too?
Only if there's cake. The Hub is hiring a transportation specialist. Join our team to help keep life moving for those who count on us. Apply today at www.thehubsheridan.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Wanning. For a second part this morning, I'm joined by members of the Sheridan Arts Council, Sean Day and Ron Kirkak. And over the phone, we are joined by concert pianist Tanner Jordan. Tanner, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Floyd.
Thank you for having us.
Now, Ron, we're going to start with you. The Arts Council has brought some incredible talent to Sheridan over the years. Can you talk a bit about your partnership that has been formed with the First Baptist Church and what makes that space so special for these shows?
Yes. Well, we've been working with First Baptist Church for 10 years at least, and we've done about a dozen concerts. We've brought in some fine young pianists and some other groups. And we've been very happy to partner with First Baptist Church because they let us use their facility. And they have a wonderful Bechstein 9-foot concert grand piano.
Ooh.
And it's arguably the best piano in Sheridan.
Can you imagine that, having the best piano in Sheridan?
That's coming from a piano connoisseur.
I mean, that really means something, doesn't it? I mean, because pianos, especially the big concert pianos, much more rare than what I think people realize.
Yeah.
A major instrument.
It's a great listening experience at the First Baptist Church. We went to a show there, and Abby Board was the one performing that night, and she played a few of her songs, but it's, yeah, such a beautiful space and very quiet. Nice listening crowd.
And Sean, you deal with sound and music every day. You've heard this piano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gorgeous. Yeah.
What is it about it?
You know, for me, I couldn't go in on the sound of the piano as much as the sound of the space. There's just something about a church with the benches, and it's just a kind of a sacred listening experience.
Yeah, I like that. A sacred listening experience. Tanner, you've got a bit of a connection to Sheridan and the Arts Council, don't you?
Yeah, so that That began about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, when the Billings Gazette here in Montana, they published an article about me, and Ron reached out saying he wanted to help me find a piano for myself. And so he made that connection, and then shortly after, I played my first recital here in Sheridan.
And you've kind of had quite the musical journey already, performing at Carnegie Hall while you were still in high school, twice with the Billings Symphony. What have those experiences meant to you as an artist, Tanner?
Yeah, so whenever I think about the most meaningful experiences I've had performing, it's usually about like the connection with the people in the audience that I was able to make. And so, of course, performing in my hometown of Billings, I just like looking out before performing and after and seeing so many people that have been a part of my upbringing, that's extremely meaningful. And then playing at Carnegie Hall was, of course, a great honor. But I just remember like specific people like talking about what my performance meant to them. And really, that's much more important than any venue or any location to perform in.
You know, I get the pleasure to speak with a lot of different types of artists, from performing artists to medium artists, and many of them feel that after they've created their either their production, their song, and then they put it out there in the public, a lot of people take that and they turn it into something very personal in their own world, their own memories, their own emotions. And a lot of artists basically say, hey, I've given this out now. It belongs to you. If it means something different to you than it does to me, that's okay. Is that how you feel about your music?
Yeah, and I think all art can be related to that. It's really not personal to me or personal to the composer. It's just something that is out there for each of us to interpret and to help us understand our own lives.
Now, I got a little bit of you performing here. I've got about a 2-minute performance. James, would you fire that up for us, please? Tanner, that was amazing. I mean, the speed and the concentration that must require. Yeah, and precision. How do you do that? I mean, okay, let me ask a better question.
How did you do that?
Yeah, I'm a little off track. A very serious question. What does it feel like emotionally to play like that
in front of a large audience?
That's a really good question. So I think it goes along with the previous question of, like, how do you accomplish a performance? How do you put together something like that? And it's hundreds of hours of very, very slow work and very calculated decision-making about what the music means to you and what feelings you're trying to invoke in a listener. And so while I'm thinking about, like, certain fingerings, certain articulations, like very technical aspects of the music, when I'm practicing, what's most important to me is the affect that I'm providing to the audience. And the way that I figure this out is often in the first listenings that I hear of the piece. Like, when I first hear the piece, what does it do for me? It's important to connect to that during a performance so that the audience can find that for themselves.
You know, I'm sitting there listening to this piece and trying to imagine the speed at which his hands was made. I don't even think my brain could keep up with the imagery that it was trying to produce. That takes a lot of precision. Is when you're in the moment and you're flying through all of these notes, is it like a muscle memory, or is it something more that you feel and you just kind of go with it?
I think a muscle memory is a good way to describe it, because like on that 2-minute piece, you've literally spent hundreds of hours. Your body knows what to do. That's what the practice is for, is to train it. And so during the performance, that's when the artist has to take over, and that's when you have to try to convey something meaningful rather than something brilliant or technical. And I think that's a much higher purpose for playing a piece like that, is finding what it means to someone else that's listening.
And there you have participated in some major competitions as well. Music Teachers National Association, Piano Arts Competitions. Challenges like that, you're going up against some of the finest pianists that this nation has to offer. What did those challenges actually teach you?
Yeah. So from Music Teacher National Association, that competition, I did as a solo pianist, and I also did it as a chamber ensemble. So I have a piano trio, the Aspen Grove Trio. And so that one, I think I learned a very specific lesson from, because when we showed up to that competition, there were other groups from all of the major conservatories in the U.S. And so we were probably not the most talented group there, but what we did was prepare our program to a level that was not expected. We had memorized, which is not standard for chamber music. You always play with sheet music. And so that extra level of dedication to the score and to the music and to communicating as an ensemble allowed us to win that competition, even though we might have not been the most talented group there. And then from Piano Arts, that one was really, really valuable to me. I was able to, as a finalist in that competition, I was able to play with the Milwaukee Symphony, which is one of the very best orchestras in the country. And so I just learned more about working with an orchestra and playing at that high level. But also, after the competition, we were allowed the opportunity to speak with all of the jury members. And so they gave me very specific and very meaningful advice on how I can improve as a musician and as an artist. And I think about those conversations every single day. And so, but overall, I think the competition atmosphere has been generally healthy for me, because I prepare my programs to a higher level than I would be able to do without the pressure of that competition. And so I enjoy doing them.
Is it the pressure that you kind of enjoy a little bit? I think you know, when we think about people who compete at high levels, there's a drive behind everything that they do, whether they're running track, performing any other sport, or even speech and debate. Is a bit of the competition kind of part of that, or is it one of those situations where you're only competing against yourself?
Yeah, ideally, I would say you're only competing against yourself, but you show up and your hard work and just the atmosphere of the competition kind of gives you a little bit of an adrenaline rush. And while it's so stressful and a little bit too much to handle. It's almost like something that you crave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I would say I, after my performance and not listening to anyone else, I have a good idea of how I will fare in the competition. And so I just compete against myself, but the pressure, part of me just really likes.
Yeah. You enjoy the pretty, boy, you feel alive in those moments, don't you?
Absolutely. And you get to capitalize on all the dedication and hard work that you've put into your craft.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, now you're performing alongside somebody pretty dang special, your new wife, Caroline. What is that like to collaborate musically with your spouse?
It's interesting because the way we met was through music. So this trio I was telling you about, she was an original member of the trio, and the pianist got injured, and so I took their place, and that's how we met. So I feel like our whole relationship is based off of performing together, so I don't know anything else. But to tell you a little bit about her, she's a very accomplished performer and teacher. She's played with a lot of different symphonies, and really one of the best teachers I know. Just has a wonderful demeanor for that. But performing together is really interesting because it's not just the time that we spend rehearsing that we're working on the music. I feel like our discussions throughout days and weeks just are little bits here and there about the music and like parts of our lives that remind us of that music. And so just having someone that you spend all of your time with and share most of your experiences with and being able to relate that to the music you play with them is kind of an unreal experience that we're super lucky to have.
Oh yeah. I bet your house just sounds amazing. Your house, your apartment. It's one of those situations where your neighbor knocks on the wall and says, turn it up as opposed to turn it down. Right.
Yeah, well, we're moving to New York City, and so we'll find out with our neighbors.
Tight living areas up there. Now, I'm running out of time a little bit here, but Ron, I understand Juilliard is somewhere in the mix here.
Well, yes, Shatter's going to be at Juilliard next year. I did a little research on my own. I found out that Juilliard is considered the best music school in the world.
In the world.
And that it's very hard to get into. One source I looked at said 0.5% of the people who apply get in.
Wow.
And that's in comparison with Harvard, where 4% of the people get in.
Yeah.
And of course, only the very best apply. So it is really wonderful to get in, and Tanner will be attending there next year and studying with the best piano teacher there.
Congratulations, Tanner. And Ron, harder to get in than Harvard.
Yes.
My goodness. Man, I thought that was the pinnacle right there, but now it's down a notch. It's Juilliard. All right. Can you tell us about the upcoming free concert that is being sponsored by the Sheridan Arts Council and the First Baptist Church? Folks, you can come and see Tanner. Tell me about this.
Well, the concert will be on Wednesday evening, August 6th at 7:30. It's a free concert. And Tanner and his wife, Carolyn, will be playing, and we're really looking forward to it. We're getting support from the Scott Foundation and the Napier Foundation to help us put together this concert and provide it free to the public, and we're especially hoping young pianists and young violinists will come and see it. And at the end, we're going to take up donations for people who want to donate to help Tanner and Carolyn pay for their tuition at Juilliard, which is pretty steep.
Yeah, I could only imagine. Donations to help get you to New York and get that new life started. Boy, what a fantastic experience that's got to be. I've only got about 2 minutes left, Tanner, but I've got another question regarding you and your wife. During the collaborations, have you noticed that because of the emotional and some would say even spiritual bond that you have with your spouse, are you guys able to really feed off of each other during as you're playing music, being able to respond, like, you know what she's going to do, she knows what you're going to do, but it's on a different level.
That's really interesting that you'd ask that, because I do feel like that's actually probably our greatest strength when we're playing together, is our ability to be spontaneous, to make decisions that are different than we had decided in rehearsal, and to respond to those. And it's kind of an exhilarating thing to, like, do something that might seem so irresponsible, to, like, change the plan on the other musician. But I feel like that's something we can accomplish just because we're very in tune with each other.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now, doing a trio, the other guy might be on the outs, but as a duet, you shine, my friend, and you shine anyway. Tanner, I want to thank you so much for giving us the honor of joining in this conversation this morning. Ron, Sean, always a pleasure. It was an absolute pleasure meeting you, sir. I hope to hear from you and the Sheridan Arts Council in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Floyd.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you, Tanner.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
At Hando Service Center, we believe hard work, dedication, and heart deserve to be celebrated. That's why we're sending a big congratulations to all the 4-H and FFA members at this year's Sheridan County Fair. Way to go, kids! Your commitment to agriculture, animals, and community makes Sheridan proud. You've earned a big applause, or a moo, or a whinny, or an oink. So, from everyone at Hando Service Center, thank you for keeping Sheridan's future strong.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
Join Weatherby for their third annual Film Festival Fall Kickoff Classic this Friday, August 1st. This year, they will be joined by Remy Warren from Live Wild, Casey Butler from Hush, and more conservation groups. Sit back, relax, and get inspired by another lineup of exciting films. Weatherby will have incredible raffles, including chances to win Weatherby firearms and other merchandising. Pre-show starts at 4 p.m. at the YO Theater. Movies start at 7 p.m. sharp. Tickets are sold at yotheater.com. We'll see you this Friday.
Quit spending more than you have to for irrigation systems. This is Brad Walden with C&K Equipment, and we're now selling and installing T&L irrigation systems. There's no better system, period. T&L irrigation systems are forged in America. They have the best water patterns, a winning edge controller, their hydraulics-based systems, and tidal hydration lug means less downtime. Plus, if you're having problems, we're there to service, even on weekends. We know time is money. Call us, C&K Equipment Sales, 674-6405.
This is Joe Hando of Hando Service Center, and I absolutely credit Gene Sterling and Sheridan Media for the ongoing success of my business. Not a week goes by that someone doesn't stop and say that they love my radio ads on Sheridan Media. What I appreciate is knowing that as a small business owner, I am just as important as the big guys, and maybe even more. My radio ads have won awards, in turn brings me new business. So thank you, Gene, and thank you, Sheridan Media. Good folks doing good business.